Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. The exciting collection of truly unique, limited-edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Indiana Pacers traveled to Milwaukee on the second night of a back-to-back Wednesday. They took on the 12-9 Bucks with a chance to take over the division lead, although the Bucks have the best net rating in the NBA despite a not-best record in the East. And the Bucks showed that net rating early on, jumping out to a 20-point halftime lead, basically going wire to wire in this game, beating the Pacers almost in every quarter except the fourth. They were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had a triple-double with 21 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. Scoring-wise, they had 16 from Dante DiVincenzo and 20 off the bench from Bryn Forbes. The Pacers were led by Domantas Sabonis' 33 points and 12 rebounds, but he would be the only Pacer to break over the 15 mark off the bench. McDermott had 13 points in 29 minutes. Jeremy Lin had 15, and Brogdon had not his best performance of the season, scoring 12 points on 5 of 17 shooting as the Pacers lose to the Milwaukee Bucks 130-110. Welcome into Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, I'm the host of this wonderful show. And to start today's podcast, I don't want to talk about the Bucks game, I guess, straight up, but I will kind of break that down later on. I want to discuss why this is not a time to panic, but this game did show some signs of who the Pacers will be this season and where this team is heading. So, on the surface, back-to-back, one of the best teams in the league. Like I said, they might not have the best record, but they have the best net rating. You would think a loss, right? On the road, all those things are just a recipe for a loss. You had Miles Turner, who came in slightly injured, wasn't really going to play with that shoulder. All those things you would combine together and say, of course they're going to lose this game, right? They're not the superior team, and things are not going well, right? They've had a couple, they're not drawing them on their best night. Then, it'd be different if they're playing Milwaukee on 3 nights rest and at home, and everybody was healthy and stuff like that. So on paper, this is a loss that should happen. Now, them being blown out, while again, maybe as expected, just kind of puts in context of where the Pacers are right now and the way the Pacers kind of are as a franchise. And what I mean by that is for the Pacers to be their most successful, and that is a team who can compete for the Eastern Conference Championship, because that's the goal of any team, is to win your conference, right? The NBA Finals, of course, teams want to win championships, but winning your conference means you're good enough to win a championship, in my opinion. No matter, even if you're like the Heat last year who surprised everybody, if you win that conference, it means you are on the level of the best team, unless, you're going against an historically great team like the Warriors or the Bulls, stuff like that. In general, if you can win your conference, you have a shot at winning a championship. We've seen that. We've seen upsets in the NBA Finals between the Raptors winning and the Mavs winning and the Pistons going back. So we've seen teams who have, as long as you win your conference, you have a shot at winning a championship. Anyways, the Pacers, to be on that level, need everything to go perfectly, right? This team has a budding superstar in Domantas Sabonis, has a, you want to call it, top 35 player Malcolm Brogdon, and then some pretty good players surrounding them. The problem is, arguably the Pacers, you want to say, fourth or fifth best player, maybe even third or fourth best player in Caris LeVert, depending on what he looks like when he returns, and TJ Warren, are not healthy. That's the first strike against them, right? So that they're already kind of down the depth. That means they're playing Lamb more, Justin Holiday more, guys who are, Lamb's having a great year, so maybe he might even deserve those kind of minutes. But Justin Holiday, while is a good player, is probably better off at 25 minutes instead of 29. It's kind of a downhill effect, right? Then you have Aaron Holiday playing 26. He's probably better at 20. You have McConnell playing a little more than he should, and just kind of this spiraling effect because of two starting player injuries, right? And so the Pacers' recipe is the same as it's always been pretty much every 10 years, right? So you go back, the best teams of the Pacers, kind of modern era in the NBA years, right, are those mid-90s teams, 2004, 2013, kind of the best seasons, right? And each of those teams had the same kind of recipe. It was they beat you with their depth, where they've got, instead of being a team who's got top-heavy, top talent 1-2, they've got 5-6 really good players. One who is maybe up there, and the smallest you could say is getting to that level right now. I mean, back-to-back 30-point games is impressive in itself. But it's the depth, right? And it's having, 8 or 9 players who would all start on any team. 2013, 14, and 04, that's kind of where the team was, right? The 03, 04 team was more six guys who could all start, but that was kind of a lot for a kind of league who was down on a lot of its players, right? It wasn't as deep as it is now. The 04 NBA was a little bit worse. It was in the post-Jordan but pre-LeBron era, or at least LeBron becoming his best self. He was in the league, but he was just kind of a rookie, second-year player or whatnot. But the 13, 14 Pacers are a perfect example of this, right? They were a team who 1 through 9 were super deep. They had Paul George, who was a budding superstar, not quite probably the top 15 guy he is today, but getting up there. And, you know, at any moment, you could see he was the best player on the court at times, right? He could be at any given moment. And that's kind of that way. He's becoming that way a little bit. And then you surround him with 8 really good players, 4 really good starters. And the Pacers, that's the recipe, right? The Bucks are the better team, and they're going to be the better team 9 out of 10 times, right? Because they have the best player in Giannis, who's one of the best three players in the league, if not the best most nights. They've got Middleton, who's a really good number 2. And then they've got Drew Holiday, who's a really good number 3, right? And so they've got top heavy talent, and their bench is well coached, right? Their bench isn't like super scary, but it's a lot of veterans, and it's deep-ish, I guess, right? Tonight they ended up playing, I think they ended up playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12 players, and they end up playing like 11 guys 10 minutes or more. And that's because they were blowing the Pacers out. But still, they've got guys like DeJ Augustine, Bryn Forbes, Pat Connaughton, who are okay. But the Pacers, arguably, if they have everybody healthy, have a better top, or better, let's say, 2 through 9, maybe, probably not 2 through 9, maybe 3 through 9, and that's how they're going to have to beat teams, is where they're 1-2 if Sabonis, Brogdon are not quite as good as other teams 1-2, but they combine well together, and they just have a really good depth that helps them kind of outplay teams in some ways, right? It's not the exact recipe to win a conference finals, but they haven't done it clearly with this recipe, but it's the way to get close, right? They got close against the Heat when it went to a 7-game series one season. They got close in 04, I think losing in 6 in the final in the East Conference Finals, and arguably the best team the next season if they had not had the brawl, right? That's the recipe for this Pacers team, is being super deep and staying healthy, and that's the problem, is they're not staying healthy, and they haven't really been healthy, in, you know, since 17-18 season, right? And that's the thing that you know, worries me and concerns me the most. It's not that this team can't be Milwaukee's level someday, because, I mean, they're not going to have the best, that kind of top player, but it's the fact that for things to go exactly right, to be even close to competing with Milwaukee, everything has to be going right, and it just is never going right for this team right now. Maybe the bad luck and the curse will sort of flip, but right now it feels like this is a Pacers, you know, history thing, is they just constantly have an injury at a bad moment, or, you know, they run into the historically great players and whatnot, and it's just tough. And that's what this night tonight showed me. This Pacers team is good. They're not great, but they're good, and they'll probably finish in the top 5 or 6 in the East at this point, the way it looks right now, just because we're so many games in, and it doesn't look like anybody else is going to pop into the top 5 or 6. But for them to be as good as the Bucks or a team like that, everything has to go right. And we've seen this recipe been kind of played out by like the Heat, right? Everything went right for that Heat team in the bubble. Everybody was healthy. Their young guys made that jump. Jimmy Butler was playing out of his mind. That could be the recipe to win, you know, the Eastern Conference if things like that happen. But so far, right, their Caris LeVert has a mass on his kidney unexpectedly. Nobody saw that coming. And luckily he's doing better, hopefully, and will return at some point, but it's just bad luck. Warren has his foot thing that we thought was just plantar fasciitis, and now is, you know, obviously had surgery, so who knows what the injury is there. They really haven't been too upfront about that. And then at the same time, you know, you've got this combination of Sabonis and Brogdon, and really Brogdon in the sense that, like, you're just kind of waiting for him to get hurt. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just kind of waiting for him to have some kind of injury. So they just haven't had the luck right now. And so, like I said, this loss, I don't think it's like a panic loss where you freak out and you're like, got to make this move, whatever, because second night of a back-to-back against a really good team, it's the loss most of the time. Even the best teams, I mean, right, it's really hard to win back-to-backs in the league, and especially because most teams expect to kind of mail them anyways, and it's a road game and whatnot, and so even though it's nationally televised, all that kind of stuff, back-to-back is the easy way to chalk up this game, but it does, to me, point to a little bit of indication that the Pacers, to reach their best, to be able to compete on the highest levels, have to have everything going right. And some of the examples just things were not going right in the sense of, you know, minor injury to Turner in the back-to-back. So, all right, let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then I want to talk about last night's game and just talk about, you know, what I liked and didn't like from it, because I do think there was like a couple good things, and mainly their Domantas Sabonis. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Rock Auto. rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need for your car. You can get like a tail lamp, motor oil, carpet, whatever it is. You can find it on rockauto.com in a few easy clicks and get it delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for do-it-yourselfers or professionals. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How They Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Made in selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. There's not a ton of life in the Pacers game tonight, but the number one thing is Domantas Sabonis, who now is on a two-game run of 30-plus points. So tonight he wasn't extremely efficient like he was the other night, obviously. If you look at his game against the Grizzlies, it was probably the best game of his career up there. He was 13 of 15 for 32 points, but I believe that was a career high for him. He set a new career night with 33 points, 14 of 25, 3 of 5 from 3. When that three-point shot has fallen for him, he is extremely lethal. He throws in 12 rebounds tonight and 6 assists. So over the last two games, he's had 55 points, 25 rebounds, and 11 assists. That's pretty good, I think. And, you know, that's on 27 of 40 shooting, which is, if I do my math real quick in my head, that's 67.5%. So pretty solid for him. I think the thing about that tonight that I noticed is he is definitely starting to jump up in my mind in terms of, like, where he ranks in the league, right? So, I mean, the center position is deep, right? And his defense is not the best. But offensively, he's, you know, he's got to be up there with some of the top centers. You know, you look at some of his advanced stats, right? He's got a pretty good offensive rating. Let's see, I have that up too. Look at some of his advanced stats, and he's, you know, up there with the best in the league right now. Now, defensively, he gets bogged down. He needs to shoot a little better from three. But even in terms of raw numbers, right, he's up there with Jokic. Jokic is putting up 27 points, so he's kind of where Jokic was last year. But to me, it feels like he's made the kind of a little leap this year. It's in the I think I expected in some ways. You know, Tony and I have talked about it a ton. We thought Sabonis was the best chance for the Pacers to have kind of the next superstar. And we're entering his prime years, and so it's kind of, I don't know if it's frustrating or disappointing right now, the fact that this year feels like it's kind of be a waste just because of all the bad luck, right, with Warren out, and they trade Oladipo for Karras, who ends up not being able to play. So I feel like a wasted year for Sabonis, who is 24, he'll be 25 in May. And so it kind of sucks for him that this year is the way it is. But tonight he kind of showed some resilience, right? I don't think he started off great, but he really rebounded in that second and third quarter. Obviously, it's easy to kind of score when there's, you know, you're down by 20 points, so you're getting a lot of easy shots. But it's not easy to score 30 points a night. So we'll see if he can keep it up this week. But I think he's definitely made a little bit of a jump, and he's what I like the most tonight. I mean, everything else, McDermott looked pretty good early on. But the thing about this team is they got kind of beat defensively. And Bjorkman said this best. They got beat so early defensively, and it just kind of was a demoralizing thing and kind of spiraled that out of control, essentially. To beat Milwaukee, you got to come out and kind of punch them in the mouth, I think, especially a team that's this good, especially against a pitching team who hasn't beat Milwaukee in God knows how many years. Right, so you got to come out and hit him in the mouth, and Milwaukee did what the Pacers needed to do, and they had to win the 3-point battle, and the Pacers lost the 3-point battle. Pacers were, let's see, I have the stat up real fast. I know great podcasting me talking. They were 11 of 34 from three, while the Bucks were 21 of 48. So Bucks made 10 more threes. That's kind of the difference, right? The thing about this Pacer game is it felt like the Bucks had a decent game plan, right? They were okay with Sabonis shooting the three. They were trying to force Brogdon into mid-range, which he took more than he usually does. And then their game plan from the start was to let Giannis be the main distributor, draw double, triple team, and kick it out to everybody. And that's why you see a bunch of players he played around with having awesome three-point nights. DiVincenzo, 4 of 8. Lopez, 3 of 5. Bobby Portis, 4 of 5. Brandon Forbes, 4 of 7. I mean, those are great three-point shooting nights, and that's how you lose the game, because counting up the Pacers, who McDermott 1 of 5 and 3, Aaron Holiday 1 of 7. Aaron Holiday, after having a pretty solid game on Sunday against the 76ers, is back to not looking very good. So, you know, they had their plan. The Bucks had their plan. It worked perfectly. And the one thing I wonder is with the Pacers defensively, right? They threw Brogdon onto Giannis early, then they switched a little bit to Turner. the Pacers don't have that small forward who can guard other teams' small forward. And Giannis is hard to guard. Nobody can guard him. I mean, maybe Kawhi can. Maybe Kevin Durant at his best can. Maybe LeBron can, right? I think Butler kind of can too. But the thing with the Bucks, it isn't about guarding Giannis. It's about sort of creating the inefficient shot for them, you know, hoping that somebody like, you know, you can shut down Middleton, or you can shut down Lopez, or you can shut down Drew Holiday. Now they're better, right? Because they have Drew Holiday. They're just a better team. But the key is just holding Giannis in check. And Giannis didn't, you know, reach his season average of points, but the fact that he got the triple-double is a huge sign of how well he played tonight, frankly. And if you don't win three-point battle, you're screwed. I mean, at the end of the day. I do wonder with the Pacers, though, like I was saying earlier. So they don't have that kind of small forward guarder because CJ Warren is obviously injured and whatnot. And I wonder if Turner can become that, right? The thing about Turner is he's a great defensive player, but it's because of he's great at one specific set of defense, right? And that is the rim protection, enforcing tough shots, right, around rim protection, and not being a liability when switched on the guards. That's another big thing for his size. That's huge. However, he's not really a one-on-one defender against small forwards. He really can't go toe-to-toe with the best players defensively. Best offensive players in his defense. And so it's just interesting. I want to see Turner develop in the long run that ability to guard Giannis a little bit one-on-one. You know, he did take Giannis a little bit, but then he fouled him a couple times. It did not go well. And that's the only way you're going to beat Giannis, if you can find a guy who can just, like, be a pain and slow him down. Right? That's what Kawhi did when he beat him in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler kind of did. Is they didn't necessarily stop him completely, but they were just constantly always there, you know, for him in his back and making him work his ass off, basically, to get points. And Turner doesn't quite do it to Giannis. And that's the one thing when you talk about Turner Defensive Player of the Year is, like, he doesn't quite have that ability. He can, you know, change the trajectory of shots around the rim and really, you know, force the teams around the rim shooting to a lower point, but he can't quite guard other teams' best players. And that's a tough thing, and that's kind of what you want out of a defensive player ultimately in the playoffs, in my opinion. So talk about Turner Sabonis, and I want to keep doing that, actually. So let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then I'm going to talk about the Turbonis pairing and where they are at in terms of net rating. Today's Locked On Patriots podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the place to do your sports betting. They have all kinds of different kind of bets. You can do Super Bowl odds, over-unders for the Super Bowl, for NBA games, and they have even special prop bets. And today's special prop bet is first head coach to be fired. This is a sad one, but always a fun one. The leader in the clubhouse is Ryan Saunders at plus 200. That means 2-1 odds. Put $10 down, you win 20 back, for example. A weird one we saw tonight, Mike Budenholzer, plus 1,200, 12-1 odds. I don't think he's going to be fired. The team is starting to turn it around a little bit. If I had to put some money down on it, though, I think it's probably going to be Scottie Brooks, who's plus 250, or Saunders, would be my guess. Brooks feels like the first one just because it's either fire Brooks or trade Beal, and I think you fire Brooks first, then you trade Beal eventually when he wants out. So I put my money on that. As always, if you go to betonline.ag right now, use promo code LOCKEDON. It's LOCKEDON. You can get a 50% welcome bonus. That means if you put $100 into your account, you get $50 back. Use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. Today's Locked On Patriots podcast is also brought to you by CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting good night's sleep is easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than the NBA media sleeping on Domantas Sabonis. CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience. They are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And to make it even easier to get started, CBDMD is offering our listeners 25% off when you use promo code MBA. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase. Superior CBD products from CBDMD. So it's time for my weekly check-in of the Miles Turner Domantas Sabonis pairing. Coming into the night, the two had a on-the-court net rating, which is the best way to measure combinations. You know, lineups is based on the net rating of 5.2, which was about 2.5 points better than the Pacers came tonight with a positive 2.7 net rating. Obviously, that went down. I do not have the team's new net rating, but the new net rating for Brogdon or for Turner and Sabonis is 2.5. By comparison, the best three are McConnell Turner, McConnell Brogdon, Justin Hollander McConnell, and they have a 17, a 10.9, and 9.5 net rating. So they're below that. I assume the team's net rating for tonight will fall probably a little bit below two. So what this essentially means is that the Turner-Sabonis pairing is producing a better net rating than the team as a whole, which means it is one of their better combinations, right? So I look at the two-man lineup. So there are a lot of two-man combinations, right? Because think about it. Even in one starting lineup, there are roughly 15 different two-man combinations. So there are a lot, right? So in any two-man combination, right, you would expect when you look at the Pacers two-man combinations that if as long as that one fell in the top 15, it is a starting lineup-worthy one. And it ranks just slightly outside of that at, I think, 17. But it is producing better than the team as a whole, right? What you're seeing partially is that McConnell is by far the Pacers' best net rating player. It's really weird, right? Like I already said, he's in each of the top three combinations. And so you're seeing more minutes of his because I'm assuming Brooklyn's seeing the same thing we're seeing in that when McConnell's on the court, the team just has a higher net rating. It's because McConnell is become a steals machine at times, you know, putting up, I think, two steals a game, give or take, right now. And he is such a good passer. You know, he's got an assist percentage that's like in the mid-60s, and he creates a ton for everybody that it kind of brings everybody up. And then his defense, because he's playing with a lot of time with the bench, is like enough, right? It's not great, but he's not becoming a liability out there at times. And so they want to see with the starting unit a little bit to see if they can make it work and whatnot. It's had mixed results, so I don't know if I love it, and we'll see if that net rating of McConnell's comes down. But the Turner-Sabonis pairing is so far working this year better than it has any time in the past, by far. Because Turner's so good defensively, Sabonis so good offensively, and then they're both good enough on the opposites that it works. And it has to be on the court at times, right? When you get to the end of the game, you need both of them out there to win the game, it feels like. You know, before it felt like you needed just one, and it was probably favoring Sabonis at times, and it felt like you'd go small, put Sabonis in the center, that was the best way to do it. But the way Turner's been playing defensively, he has to be out there, it feels like, in the last 5 minutes. And so that is a positive sign right now. We'll still see how the next, 60-ish games go. No, sorry, not 60, 50-ish games go. The Pacers are, I think, 12-10, so they have 50 more games left this season, if they play all 72 ultimately. But the early results are this is working better than it has in the past. And frankly, we keep seeing the improvement we've seen year over year. And in a year, you know, by next year, this will be a really good combination. Now, we'll see when they throw in the new players, right? When they get Warren back, when they throw in LeVert and whatnot, how that kind of changes the dynamic. But if Turner can stay at this defensive level, if Sabonis can get better offensively, and both guys can do just enough on the opposites to kind of keep up, this is a pairing that's going to be like very, probably not the best, let's say, like awesome, all-time awesome, but it will be good enough that they both deserve to be on the court, and it works, and it can be successful in the playoffs at times, or successful in important games, right? I still want to see it in the playoffs because I think teams will try to exploit it, but from what I've seen this year, there's nothing that says, like, oh, if teams are going to exploit the Sabonis switch, right? Because I think Sabonis has become a decent enough defender kind of at guarding the perimeter, and at the same time, it's like if they let Turner shoot every time, I'm not like that's not the best thing in the world, but Turner can make that 3-point shot, and there should be, you know, they let Turner shoot all the threes. He should be able to get 40% and you know, let's say you take six threes and make two of them or three of them, it's good enough to kind of help the team out, right? And then he can do enough by putting the ball on the ground now, where you're not just a, you know, shoot the three and run back. It's like, you know, trying to make a play and whatnot. So they're doing, each of them is doing just a little bit slightly more on their kind of weaker end of the floor to make this line of work. Because I think when it comes to defense and offense, they've both gotten better, but better in the sense of like what you expect. It's just the other side where actually they've gotten better where I didn't expect it to them. That's kind of how I view it. And so it's working so far. We'll see how it works going forward, like I said. But for now, it is working. But I'll keep monitoring it and bring you weekly updates. So like I said, as of Thursday morning, the net rating of Turner Sabonis is 2.5, and we'll find out the team's net rating tomorrow. And so I imagine, like I said, that'll be slightly higher than the team's overall net rating, which is a good sign. That's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Me at Freedom Adam 5. My co-host Tony's at Teased NBA. And remember, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly, sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique limited edition diamond engagement rings available now only at BlueNile.com. That's all for this podcast. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.